This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So big Ducks win, but we do have to go up the road. Now, they were not in Corvallis yesterday. They were in Reno, Nevada.
Which sucks.
Spent time in Reno. My dad lived in Reno for like a year and a half.
It's actually not too bad. My parents go for...
It sucks. Okay.
No, shut up, Rashad. My parents go for their anniversary every year. I'm not going to let you trash it.
Is it the biggest, littlest city in the world?
Yeah, it's so
See,
weird.
No one cares about it. It's like fake Vegas.
You know what? If you want a Vegas experience... If you want a Vegas experience, but you don't want to pay Vegas prices, go to Reno. There you go.
If you want, like, the old town Las Vegas experience.
No, wrong. They got new casinos there.
Oh.
Wrong.
Man, you can go to Alienay and get the same thing right up the road.
I do love me some
Alienay. They already sponsor one of our shows, so yeah, hey, that's a much better. No, I went to UNLV, so of course Reno sucks.
Okay.
There you go.
I get it. Sorry. Reno sucks.
It's how Joe feels about the team we're about to talk about.
The Beavs, for the second straight week in the fourth quarter, sucked and let a team get back into it. Now, granted, you know, this time in the fourth quarter, the Beavs went into it up 3 points. It was 24-21. Last week, it was 21-10 that they were leading Colorado State. And then they let Colorado State get back into it, take a lead. The Beavs were able to tie it, go to two overtimes and win that one. Not the case yesterday. And while Giovanni McCoy had one of his better passing games yardage-wise and actually let it go, having back-to-back interceptions late in the game, one of those going for a pick six and letting Nevada start to separate themselves. And again, just fourth quarter, end of game, just blunders and not being able to finish off games for the second straight week. Like, again, you got away with it last week, but then this time you did not, and you let Nevada, a team you should have beat, a team you should have won against. I didn't even know, but I would say that Oregon State was probably favored going into this game. 2.5, so not a big favorite, but still favored, road favorite, and you let one slip away at the end.
So disappointed. If you've been listening to the show, you understand that I've been one of those people who's like, man, Oregon State's schedule, really favorable. Like, there's a big chance after that Oregon loss, they go 11-1 or something like that to end the season and potentially are in that conversation at the end of being in the playoff if, you know, there's not a lot of one-to-one loss teams. And so far this season, they've disappointed. Like you said, the good thing, Giovanni McCoy, best passing game of, I want to say his career, but definitely of the season.
Probably not his career. He had some good games.
He hasn't thrown
his sophomore year at Idaho was pretty.
He hasn't thrown for over 200 yards all season.
No, then, Oregon State before this game legitimately was ranked in like the bottom 10 or 15 in passing offense.
Yeah, they just didn't even throw it.
In the entire country.
Yeah, you know? So he's thrown, the most he's thrown all season was 181 yards, and that was in the second game of the season against San Diego State. He threw 348 yards yesterday. Unfortunately, threw four interceptions in between there. You know, you would think if you cut those number of INTs down, maybe, maybe Oregon State has a chance to win a game. They lost by 5, so they were in it clearly, but they just couldn't make it happen in the end. I think you just need more right now, you know, and I don't know if this Oregon State team has, I don't know if they have it in the Pac-2 right now. Like they're definitely the best of the two teams, you know, in the Pac-2 at this point. But Oregon State, you know, 4-2. Like after losing that game to Oregon, you think that you're going to be okay. You've pretty much taken yourself out of any possibility of being in that playoff. So now you just try to finish strong.
It's a pretty frustrating loss for Oregon State. It's the loss for any team that it's because of you. It's not. It's like when you hear Dan Lanning talking about like Oregon is playing Oregon every week. Well, Oregon State just beat Oregon State. Nevada did not beat Oregon State. Really frustrating when your stud quarterback comes in and has that performance in the fourth quarter. Like you can live with a couple of picks, but it's like the first time that I don't know if like they just wanted to transition their offense more to passing now, or like they had to because Jam Griffin was out and they didn't have that double-headed running attack. But I don't know, man. I was pretty confident in McCoy's ability to throw the ball. He had a really good career doing so at Idaho. He can air it out, just hasn't really had that chance to do so yet at Oregon State. We saw some success yesterday, but damn, those two decisions, man, I just can't go over that. I was trying to see like what happened in the fourth quarter, and yeah, just bad throws on his part.
The biggest glaring kind of I guess the most jarring thing as you look at the stat sheet and everything, like they threw a total of 69 yards if you're Nevada yesterday. 69 passing yards the entire game. That's insane to me.
Well, and one of them was by their running back. One pass, by the way, was a completion by the running back on a trick play. So,
and then you have two running backs that have over 130 yards apiece. Like, they absolutely shredded you, you know, on the ground. There, you couldn't stop the run at all, and that's why they did it. Like, and on the flip side, like Anthony, if you like running backs, yesterday's game with Oregon State and Nevada was awesome. If you like running backs, because Anthony Hankerson, if you haven't seen him play yet, man, kid's electric, man. 154 yards and three tutties, you know, yesterday. So he was doing his thing, and you just think if maybe Javonte McCoy didn't throw four interceptions, then maybe Oregon State wins this game.
Well, what was a real killer is that They throw the pick six, they're able to respond and cut the lead to, I believe, 5 at that point, and then they are able to get the onside kick and
3 and out.
God! It's just like, when you have that, I mean, that's essentially a turnover right there.
Yeah.
Getting an onside kick, and one of my biggest pet peeves is coming away with 0 points on a turnover. You know, obviously field position comes into what that turnover looks like, but an onside kick, I mean, you're getting that at what? The 40?
45, 40?
Yeah, somewhere near midfield usually. So to not take advantage of that, that was just, I mean, wind out of the sails right there moment. And then you give it back to Nevada, who's able to score 3 plays later. I mean,
it was like a 67-yard run, right, by their quarterback, I think?
I believe so, yes.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah, it's just such a missed opportunity. And again, to let that game get out of hand like that in the second half, or more so the fourth quarter, just a missed opportunity. Well, just absolutely brutal. A
couple missed tackles on that specific play that we're talking about as well that were infuriating. It's like, wrap up, you guys. Come on.
Yeah, so a little disappointing for me. You know, I think most people know I'm kind of I got love for Oregon State. Like, obviously I don't watch them or, you know, follow them as much as I do the Ducks, but I got love for Oregon State. Like, I want them to do well, especially now that, you know, Big Brother and Eugene has kind of moved on, and you know, they're chasing their own kind of destiny right now. I want Oregon State to really find their identity and, you know, become that team that they not used to be, but become something that I think a lot of people in the Northwest can be proud of, whether you follow them or not. Like those to look at the, you know, at box scores at the end of the night and see that, you know, Oregon and Oregon State got big wins, like, yeah, it puts more focus on our little ass state of Oregon.
Yeah. And then Oregon State, I mean, they had a chance at the end there to win it. But again, just, you know, trying to make a play, interception happens, and that's the game. I mean, to have 0 turnovers in the first half and then have multiple interceptions, it's just
the wheels completely fell off.
Well, and it's like understanding that you have to throw the ball. You're trying to keep up with this offense. And to, again, have the best passing game, essentially, as far as yards go, and it looked like it was going well, to then have it coupled with, you know, that many interceptions, one to give the other team points, one to end the game. not being able to take advantage of the onside kick. I mean, it's just, that was a brutal one. That was a tough one for Oregon State. You know,
yeah.
I don't even want to make fun of them on that one. That's that. That's how brutal it was. Yeah. But next week, they gotta get ready because Rashad's running Rebs.
We're not playing.
Woo.
We're not playing. We on a mission right now.
I want to say they had a bye week, UNLV.
Yes.
So they did not play last
Coming
week.
Coming off
so.
The loss, right, mm-hmm. after last week.
So against Syracuse,
to, we
correct.
Talk about, yeah. We're going to talk about that. Against a really good Syracuse team. Like, they were supposed to win that game, but...
I might have lost money on UNLV, so that's why I'm praying.
I'll take the one loss. Man, if we can get one loss and everybody else gets two, then we can, you know, we can be number 14 in the playoff.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.